everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome to First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down every betting angle possible for UFC Fight Night, and it should be a really good and intriguing main event. We got Vicente Luque taking on Bilal. Remember the name, Muhammad, who is an underdog in this fight. Should be a really good one. Going to have Lou Finocchiaro join us as well. Of course, Jordan Sherwood and our producer, Britton Hess, coming back from off the behind the glass and coming right out here, give us some of Britton's bombs here in the last segment of the show. But we do begin today with Reed Kuhn, and it's always great to have Reed at his models join the program. Reed, welcome back to the program as well, my friend. Look, I look at these type of fighters. When you look at Muhammad and you look at Luque, you've got a lot of history here, not just other fighters, but I wonder how much the first time this fight went around, does that affect your models differently, knowing that you already have firsthand information from the first time these two guys fought?
Yeah, it depends on rematches, because sometimes you get the back-to-back rematch. We've seen a lot of that in title fights recently, and that information is definitely more relevant than something that happened a few years ago. In their case, this fight was a while back. It wouldn't really factor too much into the models. We're much more interested in recent performance. And recent performance is still consistent with what happened. You know, what happened was Luque knocked him out very early. And he does have the sharp hands. It comes out on paper. It's very obvious he has a striking advantage. It's also very obvious that Muhammad has gotten really good at playing to his strength, which is just backpacking people on the ground. And he can take a very effective striker and completely eliminate their offensive weapons. And so he's going to be looking to do that here. Hopefully he's learned a thing or two in his run up to this point, where, you know, either guy is kind of on that cusp of maybe a future title shot. So the numbers agree with what everybody is seeing. You know, Luque probably going to knock him out, or he's going to get backpacked.
And we see here Bilal Muhammad right now is plus 160 here, Luque at minus $1.90. So obviously, with this being a five-round potential fight here as a main event, Reed, and your model's done a great job getting those rounds, too, for the over-unders here. What do you make? If we expect Bilal Muhammad to be a live dog here, I would assume that means takes this fight deep, right? Potentially either wins a decision or somehow gets a submission utilizing that wrestling. Is that the way the models would forecast a win for Muhammad?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's unlikely to get an out-of-the-gates victory. It's probably going to take him a while to grind down Luque and really chip away at him, tire him out. Luque is probably, you know, the physically bigger and stronger guy. But yeah, you're right. It's either Muhammad is backpacking him and eventually he sets up a choke. That is, you know, a rear naked choke is one of the few chokes you can actually land in a fourth and fifth round. That and a leg triangle. Basically, you know, you can ignore guillotines at that point. Your arms are just shot. But a rear naked choke will actually work, and he is an expert at finding back control. But otherwise, it's Luque early or Muhammad late.
All right, those would seem to be the pathways to victory there. So when you see some of those props here, want to go KO, TKO, or DQ, Luque would be plus value there, plus 225. But again, either a decision from Muhammad there, that's a juicy price there, plus 250. But if you could get a finish here, and that would seem to happen later in the fight, and again, see the over-under there, the over plus a dollar there, the under minus 130 to go under 4.5 rounds. So depending on the way you see this fight going, you can see those numbers and how they're associated with them. I want to go to Mayra Buena Silva here. She's a huge favorite at over $5 against Wu Yanan here, but Yanan feels like a live dog here. When you look at the models, and I know she's lost her last two, Reed, what are your models showing here?
Yeah, we sort of agree with the market here. We do agree that Silva should be the clear favorite, maybe just not quite as heavy a favorite as she's coming out to be. Yanan Wu is very busy on the feet, much busier than Silva, just both in a pure like pace sense, but also she tends to keep up and elevate the pace of a fight, whereas Silva tends to pull back a little bit. Maybe she's looking for a counter, I don't know. Maybe she's looking to set something else up, but her overall pace is low in an absolute sense, but also in a relative sense. So she's letting opponents outwork her. And that's a bad sign if you think this is a fight where, first of all, it's more even than maybe the market thinks, and therefore it could be going to the cards, and you never know if Wu might score the sudden upset. So while the models believe that Silva is the favorite, I'm not going to be backing that straight up. I might sprinkle a little bit on Wu by decision for an upset.
And there it is, plus 385 here. If she can get that upset, and again, only a potential 3-round match in this one here. So you can see here, if you like her by decision, it's even juicier at plus $6 if we do indeed have a live dog. And this one, you see the total rounds there, 2.5, adjusted heavily to the over at minus $1.70. Let's stay with the ladies. Go to Alina Landsberg against Penny Kianzad. Kianzad here, a solid favorite here, over $4. Do the models show that she should be this big a favorite?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is that led to this. The market saw that she should be the favorite pretty early and then steamed it even further. I agreed with that right out of the gates, and I'm still going to be backing her. Kianzad is actually someone, she's one of those fighters where I know her manager and I tend to sneak a little intel whenever there's a matchup that I like. But what comes out when I analyze a little bit deeper and try to describe why I think the models are coming out, first of all, you've got a 10-year age differential. That's pretty massive. You can't ignore that. Also, they fought each other a long, long time ago, earlier in their career. Both these women are Swedish. And Kianzad, I think, won by knockout. But that is clearly not in our data set right now. Landsberg is an elite Muay Thai fighter. She likes to keep fights close. She spends almost half of all of her fight time either against the fence or at least holding on to her opponent on the feet. And so Kianzad just has to stay out of that trap. And when I look at her clinch metrics, they're actually just as good. I just don't think she has the same experience, but she should have the strength advantage. So as long as she creates distance, then Kianzad is clearly the more accurate and dangerous striker at range. And I think that's how she wins this matchup. She survives the clinch game, maybe even creates distance, and then it's from a distance where she wins.
Let me get to a couple other fights that I know that you like on this card. I'm intrigued by the Devin Clark against William Knight fight here. I feel like this should be a live dog scenario here for William Knight. Do the models back up that hypothesis that I have there?
Yeah, Devin Clark moving up a weight class here. He might be the taller, bigger guy, but William Knight has been facing natural heavyweights, and he's the one with the knockout power. At least on paper, he has the, you know, they have equal number of knockdowns, and yet they came a lot easier for Knight. So he swings big and he swings hard. The liability maybe is his defense. He has some suspect defense. He's willing to take shots. He hasn't been put down, and Clark has been put down. You know, the chin is a concern for Clark, which makes moving up a weight class even stranger. Maybe he's hoping that his speed saves him. Clark does have a little bit of wrestling, so we need to see that Knight, his defense holds up. But if he lands big, Clark is probably the one who goes down first. And so, yeah, it's a live dog environment for heavyweights because it's always one for that.
Got a couple minutes to go here with Reed Kuhn. Again, follow him on Twitter as I do at Fightnomics. Has a book that he has authored by the very same name of Fightnomics. I do want to get to Alex Hang against Kevin Kroom, and I know Kroom right now is the dog at $1.55 here. Do you back the favorite with the models or the underdog in this one?
We're liking Alatang here, and this is another one where I'm interested to see these guys actually perform. I don't know as much about both these fighters. I can see the data that we do have. We do have 60 minutes of data on Alatang, 31 on Kroom. Their metrics are fairly even. The huge hole that I see on this is Kroom's defense. He is way too willing to take a punch from a distance. You know, when you are only defending about half of all punches that come at your head, that's a huge liability. And we've called that out before. I know I've called that out with you before. That's something to be wary of. Now, in this weight class, the lower weight classes, maybe not as much of a liability as, you know, up at heavyweight, but that does add up. You know, you can accumulate a lot of damage in 15 minutes if you're keeping this mostly on the ground. Now, I think Kroom is more likely to want to get this to the floor. He's also really tall. That creates a strange stylistic dynamic with a tall guy trying to shoot on a short, stocky guy. Maybe that helps us in this case, backing Alatang. But Alatang does have good takedown defense, and he's had good ground control. So maybe that's less of a liability as it might appear to be at first blush. So should this turn into a striking contest, Kroom likes to set the pace, and he likes to work more than his opponents. He likes to dictate that pace. That could work against him here because Alatang has looked very comfortable, and you know, eventually that defense could add up. You know, Kroom might just get dinged up too much over 15 minutes. I see this going the cards. I see a decision, but it's that damage per round that could be telling.
Very interesting. And you know, Reed, obviously we had some cancellations in this card here. So the co-main event now has some relative newcomers here to the UFC. We saw them certainly get their breaks in the UFC in the contender series here. We got Caio Barajo against Omar Gadjiev. And we're seeing here that right now Omar Gadjiev is a small favorite at about $1.30. Do you have enough intel on these guys from what you've seen now that they're really starting to get their shine in the UFC and not just in the contender series?
Yeah, it's kind of rare to see a matchup with two guys in a co-main event on ESPN, big ESPN, not ESPN Plus, with so little UFC experience. So this is one of my data collection opportunities. I'm going to sit back, pour a drink, and watch these guys go, and I'll collect some data. And I'll wait till next time before I run the numbers on them.
I think that's the smart way to go, though, Reed, because, again, when you're going by your models and your numbers, when you don't have that type of information, we try to tell people this all the time, you don't have to force feed it if you really don't have a good read on it. And I think that's a very smart, no pun intended, Reed. That's a very smart way to handicap these things. Wait till you get the intel, until you really have a better number on a fight somewhere down the line. Reed, always appreciate the time and the information. As always, enjoy the fight card, and we'll get back to you again next week. There he is, everybody. Reed Kuhn. Again, follow him on Twitter, as I do, at Fightnomics. We're going to have Lou Finicaro join us. We're going to have Jordan Sherwood coming up later on from Chicago. And Britton Hess going to join us right here in studios. Cannot wait for Britton's bombs. Come on back. Just getting it started. It is First Strike right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more ways than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for MMA events. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Dave Ross back here on First Strike. Always a pleasure to have Lou Finocchiaro join the program. There is a rumor, and again, you can follow him on Twitter as I do at GamBlue, that Lou is in Las Vegas right now as we speak here on Friday. And Lou, did you just come back from the weigh-ins?
I just came back from the weigh-ins, Dave. Raced up here to set up shop and put in my fancy background here so that I could speak and share with you all that I have learned. Thanks so much for having me on. I love doing these. I love pursuing the fight game.
You do a great job of it. I told people last week, I hope everybody watch all of our experts each and every week for valuable information that is very, very profitable. Let's get to what you saw at the weigh-ins that maybe directs your path here a little bit when we look at this fight card. I'll get to the main event in a second, but I do want to talk about Mayra Buena Silva, who is over a $5 favorite against Wu Yanan here. And we just had Reed Kuhn on. He ran some of those models, and he kind of thinks that maybe the dog is a live play here. From what you've seen at the weigh-ins and your handicap, Lou, do you concur with that assessment?
Yeah, overall I do, Dave. And really, the weigh-ins are really the second part. Foundational is the ability to sit for the fighter interviews, and the interview between those two ladies that I was able to intake was hugely revealing to me. Buena Silva really spoke in generality that she wanted to get back off a loss. Now, let's understand, her last loss was to a killer in Marion Fierro. Mm-hmm. That said, that was also 125 pounds. She now moves up to bantamweight. No one is mentioning that, and that is not understood, and it has to be understood. Meanwhile, Yanan Wu, the Chinese fighter, she has not looked great against nominal opponents, but it was some time ago. She looked more mature to me. She was extremely confident when her interview process was up, and when it was over with, I came away thinking that the fact that she was already a legit 35er, fighting off of two losses, taking time off, yada, yada, yada. I think Wu is really poised to perform, and not only do I like her at the plus 400 or so that you can get her at, Wu decision, that fight to go to decisions like minus 300. Wu decision plus 600. Whew. Absolutely going to have a little there too.
Yeah, and Lou, very quickly to that, you know, we know styles make fights, obviously, and we do think that this one could go deep into the night here. Is this something that can she get a stoppage? But do you think really more realistically, she just outworks Silva in order to get that decision victory, to get that big plus price tag at plus $6?
Yeah, she's got some size and length. I think she's going to more strike and keep Silva off of her. If something were to happen fishy or funny in this fight, I think it's to the Buena Silva side. So I think it's going to behoove Wu to keep her distance and try and measure Buena Silva from the outside and use her size, structure, and strength to keep from getting taken down.
Lou, I do want to get to the main event here. It's very intriguing for many different reasons, obviously. And again, you know, this is obviously a non-pay-per-view, but this is a fight here that could be on any pay-per-view when you have the rematch between Luque and Muhammad here. Now, you know, Bilal is a very interesting guy. I know him a little bit from our Chicago days. He's an entertaining follower on Twitter. I saw that the UFC tweeted out when Luque knocked him out the first time around, and then he said, "You've now been blocked and reported." What would be different the second time around for Muhammad to pull the upset? And right now, generous price tag here, plus $1.60 for a guy who's been on a bit of a roll here at 170 pounds.
He has been on a bit of a roll, 10-1-1, not too bad. That said, I think it's critical in this fight, a highly competitive fight, to really look at who each man has been in with. And while Bilal's 10-1-1, Luque's 10-1. And nine of those 10 wins were via finish. I grade Luque's level of opponent considerably higher than Bilal's. I think that the wrestling and the confidence and the determination of Bilal is giving people cause to believe that the wrestler stands a chance here, and wrestlers often do, except Luque is the legitimate 170-pounder. He's been there for a long time. Bilal might be a little undersized, and he trains with the Savages at Sanford MMA. He's seeing world-class wrestling every day. I think there's a slight difference in class between these two fighters. I'm all about Luque in this fight.
Well, and sometimes, you know, it is, you normally don't see in rematches, and I know there's been a little bit more time, this isn't an instant rematch here, that really the second fights are normally not that different. I mean, yes, like Colby Covington in the rematch against Kamaru Usman maybe closer, but still came up on the short side. Is that the way you normally see these? Like, we don't normally see that we're going to get to a rubber match in a third time, because normally the second one goes similarly to what we saw the first time around.
I think the difference, if I'm projecting, is that we'll see improvement from Bilal in the form that the fight will go longer. That's really where I see Bilal's improvements. As far as rematches, Luque's already had a rematch with Nico Price, who is on Bilal's level, different style, but on his level, and he won it in devastating fashion. So while I may not claim Luque to win this fight in devastating fashion, I think that all signs point to him. And then lastly, there's Bilal and fasting and Ramadan.
Right.
That can't be overlooked. If he's taking that seriously at all, he's not eating or drinking right now after the weigh-ins, which would be a huge detriment. Even if he is eating and drinking and rehydrating right now, there's been some emotional toll over the last 2 weeks to try and prepare for a fight while undergoing that kind of stringent fasting.
I think it's an excellent point that it should not be understated. Again, we hope that he's at full capacity and energy level and everything else, but you're right, that is something that could certainly have an effect, especially if this fight goes deep as a main event here, could potentially be five rounds. I wonder if you have a thought on the co-main here when you have Caio Barajo against Gaju Omurgadjiev. And again, Barajo here is a small underdog, and we know stylistically what we think this fight might do, but Lou, it's hard when you have two relative newcomers now in a big stage in a co-main event here on a main card.
It is. And so I'm probably not going to use this fight, but if I were to, it would be my contention that I would have to use the Russian, because in my experience and what I've been taught, Sambo and world-class wrestling is kryptonite to the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Now, Barajo brings a little bit more violence and some striking into this fight, and the Russian's not going to be able to tangle with him from distance. But my lean would surely be in the short favorite situation to the Russian here. But I think I'll watch and learn this fight. And this should be a great fight, because these Brazilians and Russians, they don't like one another. And 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I'd tell you that it was the green flag that might be using enhancements to gain an advantage. Oh. Now, fast forward to today, that isn't the green flag anymore. That's the other camp. And so I just soon live and watch and learn.
Got a couple minutes to go here with Lou Finocchiaro. Follow him on Twitter at GamBlue. Very quickly, whenever you have Miguel Baeza, Caramel Thunder back in there against Andre Fiajo, this should be a really interesting stylistic matchup here. What do you make of Baeza here? About minus $1.70 is what I'm seeing today.
I think that Baeza is an extremely mentally fragile guy, and that this fight is totally foundational for him. Should he win and look impressive, I think he springboards to where everyone once projected him. However, coming off his last two fights, I know he's really undertaking, again, I got this from interviews, but he's undertaking a lot of self-searching and sports psychologists, and he appears to me to be fragile mentally.
Yeah, and that's not normally a good situation to go into a fight of this caliber, because you're right here. You start getting on a couple losses, and all of a sudden, you wonder, for somebody that we really had high expectations for in this division, let's see if he can get back on the good foot this week here. We've got about a minute to go. I always talk about the Bout Business podcast for very good reason, because it's very profitable. Lou, tell the people what they get when they tune in.
Each Friday, there's a UFC card like this Friday. They're going to get 16 to 18 minutes of just my final releases for this card, three of which you've heard right here. And those final releases are tabulated and accounted for each week. Thus far, we're 30 and 37, showing a 5% ROI, which isn't great. However, knowing that UFC favorites are running 68%, we're encouraged. And so I appreciate you letting me mention that, Dave. I also appreciate the fact that you guys let me come on here and share my passion with the fights.
Yeah, it's our pleasure, Lou. You do a great job. It's always great to have you here on First Strike. Enjoy the fight card this weekend and can't wait till they get down to your neck of the woods here for UFC 274. When we come back and go to Chicago, Jordan Sherwood's going to join the program. Come on back. It's First Strike here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
You want more betting insights to give you an edge? Well, check out VSiN's Best Bets podcast. You can listen to daily sports betting highlights from the entire 24/7 stream of VSiN experts, tracking line moves and odds and props, win losses and bad beats from sportsbooks in Vegas and across the entire country. So download the VSiN Best Bets podcast now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Dave Ross back here inside our Circus Studios here in Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to go to a place I called home for 8 years, Chicago. And he is Jordan Sherwood. Again, follow him on Twitter at Wood on 1063 and ESPN Chicago. Jordan, welcome back to the program, my friend. Very quickly, we know your podcast doesn't have a name, but it does give out winners. Tell the people what they get when they check out your pod.
Yeah, the unnamed MMA podcast. We still don't have any originality or creativity when it comes to naming the podcast. But, you know, what we do is we try and dissect fights, kind of similar to what we do here on, you know, First Strike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, give you some winners, some opinions, and break down the fights as best as me and Adam Abdallah can from ESPN Chicago.
That's a great listen. You got to check it out, certainly, if you're in the Chicago area and beyond. Let's get to some of those opinions you might have in some of these fights here on this fight card. I want to start off with Chris Barnett. Everybody loves Chris Barnett for his personality. I think they like to watch him fight too. And now he's going to go up against a relative newcomer here in Martin Boudet. Barnett right now, almost a $2 underdog. Jordan, give me your opinion on this. Is this a little bit, is this a live dog scenario?
I don't believe it is. As much as it stinks to pick against Chris Barnett because he's a fun fighter. Obviously he's a showman, and his wheel kick knockout the last time out against John Volante, we selected, but we're not going to do it this time. I think it's going to be a struggle for him. Martin Boudet is a very good grappler, comes in with a lot of notoriety. I think it's going to be a similar fight to Chris Barnett's debut in the UFC, which was a second-round submission loss to Ben Rothwell. I think just the size, the grappling acumen is going to cause some issues for Chris Barnett, who's going to have to land one of those wheel kicks or flashy strikes to you know, get momentum in the fight, maybe get a finish. Martin Boudet doesn't strike me as that caliber of fighter. He's going to control distance. He's going to push Barnett against the cage. And actually, because there's a lot, 220 you got to lay for Martin Boudet, I like him via points. I think Chris Barnett can last. You know, he's a guy, sure, he has been finished before, but Martin Boudet doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to look for the finish, just try and control for three rounds. So I'm going to put Boudet probably in a parlay, but I'm also going to look for him to win straight up via points and get some plus money.
Yeah, there you go. Win by decision. And that's how, again, I think all of our experts here at VEASAN do a great job of this. You just flip basically laying over $2 here to getting plus 500, 5-1, if he does get the win by decision, if you want to go with Boudet and maybe get a much bigger return on your investment there. Let's get to William Knight taking on Devin Clark here. I do find this fight to be very intriguing. I do feel like William Knight is a live dog in this one. Do you back up that sentiment?
I do. I didn't like the fact that he had to miss his last fight and move it up to heavyweight. He missed it by 14 pounds the last time out. But now this fight is a traditional heavyweight fight. And it's interesting that Devin Clark is doing the same thing, moving up from light heavyweight, trying to get a new lease on life at heavyweight. So he's going to be the, you know, a relatively smaller fighter, even though obviously, you know, William Knight is like a, you know, a bowling ball, you know, what 5'8", 5'9", whatever he weighs now. But fighters, the caliber of Devin Clark, you know, guys that are looking to grapple, not going to win fights on the feet, are people that William Knight feeds on. So I think William Knight's got good enough takedown defense. It's like a Mack truck, and Devin Clark has finished before. We've seen him get knocked out before. So I actually think, yes, William Knight certainly is a live dog. Let's forget what happened, his last appearance in the Octagon, and certainly I believe at plus money, as the live dog, there is a play on William Knight.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one. I do want to get to the main event. Obviously, you're in Chicago here. So is Bilal Muhammad. You know, when I've talked to Bilal and some other Chicago fighters, I'm always like, when are we going to have that Chicago champion? I don't know if this is the type of win over Vicente Luque here that might propel him in the 170-pound division, but certainly we get some attention if he could flip the script from the first time around when he lost via KO to Luque. What do you make of the rematch here, and is Bilal a live dog to Saturday night?
I think there's certainly a play on Bilal Muhammad as a live dog. I think his skill set, the wrestling, the boxing acumen that he has, is going to be cause some issues for a guy in Vicente Luque, even though Luque is awesome. I mean, 19 finishes and 21 of his wins. So the guy is certainly well-versed everywhere. We saw him last time out, what he did, you know, certainly extremely impressive. But at the end of the day, I think Bilal Muhammad is a better fighter than the last time they fought. He's a smarter fighter. So I think I'm going to play the over because I think Bilal Muhammad is going to be able to control where this fight goes. I'm not as confident as him to win straight up, so maybe a small play on him because of the wrestling, boxing, I think will cause. We saw Luque get taken down, you know, in his last two fights. So certainly that's in play. But bottom line for me, play the over, slight lean on Bilal Muhammad just because he's a much better fighter than when they first fought in 2016.
You know, it's interesting, too, because if you think Muhammad can win via decision, it's plus 250, but it's really not that big of an advantage, rather taking Bilal by any other victory, right? Obviously not as big a price tag there at over $2. Luque by decision is plus 350, which leads me to, do you think the fight goes to a decision? Because if you do like the over 4.5 rounds here at DraftKings, you can get that at $1. Is that the type of way you might want to handicap it? Even if you're not exactly sure who might win it, you play that over 4.5 and the fight to go to distance, you get plus $1.10 if it goes all five. Is that maybe a better way to safeguard your bet if you're not exactly sure who wins and what we think is a close fight?
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Dave. I mean, look, if you think Bilal Muhammad's going to win the fight, he's probably going to win it via points. He's probably going to win it 3 rounds to 2, 4 rounds to 1. If Luque's going to win the fight, as I just alluded to, 19 of 21 of his wins to come via finish. So he's going to finish the fight. And he finished Bilal Muhammad in one round the last time that they fought. So, look, and the two times that he's lost via decision. So Luque is like the Terminator. You know, he's a tough out. He's not a guy that's going to go out and get their finish. And I think, again, also Luque could finish you via strikes. He could finish you via submission. He's got a multitude of ways to do that. Bilal Muhammad, kind of not. Maybe he wins by knockout, TKO, ground and pound, or decision. So, yeah, if you like Bilal Muhammad, maybe lay a little bit more because he's a point fighter and he's going to win via decision. But bottom line is I'm not confident either way. I'm, like I said, leaning Bilal, but I like the over 2.5. I like the over 3.5. I think there's tremendous value in both of those plays.
Talking with Jordan Sherwood, got a couple minutes ago. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Wood on 1063. I got caught up in the Caramel Thunder hype train, and that has not been profitable as of recent outings here with Miguel Baeza. Still a solid favorite against Andre Fiallo here. What do you make of this matchup? Because, you know, even talking to Lou Finocchiaro, who was at the weigh-ins, and he kind of looks at Miguel and he's like, he's searching for something. Does he find it in this fight, Jordan, in your opinion?
Look, I mean, he's going to have to showcase that like he doesn't have a suspect chin, and he's a guy that maybe can utilize some grappling. But Fiallo, I think, is a live dog. The Muay Thai kind of matches up with the kickboxing of Miguel Baeza, who, you know, again, not only in his last loss, his last fight to Chaos Williams, but he got dropped by Matt Brown in that first round, and then, you know, he came back and won it in the second round. So very question. He just hasn't lived up to the hype. I mean, look, he's supposed to be a very big-time prospect with his kickboxing skills. He hasn't shown any grappling, hasn't shown any submission skills. So I think, absolutely, Fiallo is a live dog because of also his experience and the type of fight that Miguel Baez is going to provide him.
I'm right there with you. Again, I got caught up in it. It could be a time for him to turn his career around. But you're right, the hype train was early, and maybe people are hopping off that hype train. But yet, he's a solid favorite still here tomorrow night. I do want to get to the co-main very quickly here because it's interesting trying to find solid opinions when you look at Caio Barajo against Gaju Omergajuev. And again, you understand what you're going to see from the Russian. You're probably going to see wrestling. From the Brazilian, he wants to get down on the mat and utilize that BJJ. Almost, you know, Barajo here plus $1.10. Omergajuev here is about minus $1.30. Do you have a lean either way, or are these two fighters just too raw for you to really get an opinion?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously you get UFC debuts, co-main event, weird COVID era still in a co-main event. You know, Omergajuev is probably my play just because of, as you just alluded to, the grappling, the wrestling, what you know what you're going to get from a Russian. I think it's strong to still lean him down at $1.80, $1.85, where I think you can fight him. So that would be my play, but, you know, recommendation, there's not a lot of film in either of these guys making their UFC debut. UFC jitters. You don't know what's going to happen.
And again, this is what we always tell people. You do not have to wager it if you don't have a strong lean. And I think that's kind of the consensus we're getting in this co-main event here tomorrow night. Very quickly here, got about 30 seconds to go. Jordan, is there any other fight on this entire card that you really see an advantage potentially in a way to financially make some money here?
Yeah, I think Silva can win her fight, Maya Blaine Silva, over Wu Yudan via submission. I think that she's got an arm bar that rivals Ronda Rousey, but it kind of does because that's how she wins fights. Yudan's a fighter that's going to look to keep the fight standing, so if Silva gets the fight to the ground, she could win via armbar submission.
And maybe, again, if you don't want to lay that over $5 price tag there for the favorite, that might be a way to go. Hey, Jordan, really appreciate you taking the time from Chicago. As always, check him out, Wood on 1063 on Twitter. Jordan, enjoy the fights. We'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon.
All right, there he is, everybody. When we come back, our producer's coming out from behind the glass to give you some of Britain's bombs. Britain Hess next, right here on First Strike, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Back here on First Strike on VSiN, I'm your host, Dave Ross. And I always say, you know, it's not me and it's not just our guests that put this show together. It's our star producer, Britton Hess. Kind enough to join us, come out from behind the glass. Do you like it on this side better or back there better?
It's a little bright in here.
It is a little bright. These lights will get to you. Britton, I do want to get to Britton's bombs because I think you always find one fight on the card that you think maybe there's good value in a nice bomb play on a Saturday night. What do you got?
Yeah, well, you've talked to me about UFC a lot, and you know that I'm always trying to fade a guy who's making their debut in the promotion. Mm-hmm. Trey Ogden is taking on Jordan Leavitt as a minus 145 favorite.
Ooh.
I don't understand that. If you look at Trey Ogden's, his match history, the guys he's fought in the lower organizations, they're not good. It's not there's a lot of guys that are under 500 or just around 500. He's got a lot of submissions in his career, but Jordan Leavitt is a jiu-jitsu master. His nickname is the Monkey King because he's got super long arms, and he can wrap anybody up from any position. Him at +125,
yeah,
making his fourth fight in the UFC. He is 2-1 so far. His one loss was a decision to Claudio Puelles, who's obviously very good and on the rise. I think Leavitt at plus money is hard to turn down when it's a guy making his debut who has not seen competition anywhere near this level.
America, there it is. Britton's bomb. Jordan Leavitt +$1.25 against Trey Ogden. I will be backing Britton's play on that one come tomorrow night. Britton, I do want to get to the main card here, and obviously we'll get to the co-main in a second, which is very intriguing because it feels like from all of our experts we've talked to, it's kind of a toss-up. Don't really know what's going on. We know what's going on in the main event whenever you get Bilal Muhammad, remember the name, everybody should, in his rematch opportunity against Vicente Luque. I do feel like we are getting some differing opinions, though, on how this fight will go. Sometimes in rematches, it goes the way it went the first time. Luque obviously got the knockout. This time around, if Bilal Muhammad is to get this upset victory here, and right now you can get a pretty nice return here, about $1.60 on Muhammad, he's got to wrestle, right? That's the pathway to victory for Bilal, is I'm going to drag this fight, try to get into the cardio of Luque. Is that the way you see this fight going, if an upset is to occur?
I mean, that's the standard Bilal Muhammad game plan, right? It's just grind. And, you know, he frustrates a lot of people, a lot of fans, because he's not the flashiest guy. He's got 20 wins in his career and 15 are via decision. 75% of his wins are by decision, which is kind of a crazy stat in this era of MMA. But I do think that he will try to wear Luque down. The problem is that Luque is dangerous on the ground, you know, in Bilal's normal strategy of get the guy to the ground
and just
wear on him, lay on him, wear on him, make him tired. The problem is when you're fighting a guy who's a striker like Stephen Thompson or an old Damian Maia, who's obviously not a striker, but doesn't have
BJJ
doesn't have a diverse skill set. The thing is, Luque is just as dangerous on the ground as he is standing up. So I don't know if Bilal's path is as clear as I'd like it to be. I mean, I love Bilal as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I love his effort, you know, the heart, you know, there's a lot of reasons to root for him. But I'm probably going to stay away or go for, you know, a 2.5 round over, something like in the middle, because I could see it ending, you know, before we get to the final round. But I definitely don't think it's going to be done in the first, like the first time these guys fought 7 years ago.
And I get it. The elite of this division, both these guys want to be in that conversation, certainly at 170 pounds. When you look at, say, Colby Covington in the rematch against Kamaru Usman, the first time those two guys fought, we all thought it's going to be this wrestling match.
Yep.
And it was a striking match. Second time we saw more wrestling. So Bilal knows I've got to wrestle. I can't just sit here and expect to outstrike Luque. That's not going to happen. How does he avoid that, though? How does he get in on that double leg to get Luque down, to get into the cardio, if he was unsuccessful the first time around?
I mean, it's really going to come down to footwork and cutting off his evasion paths and making sure he can get Luque into the corner of the octagon, get his back against the wall or against the fence. I think that's his best way. You know, I don't think that trying to shoot a double in the middle of the octagon is going to work against Luque. He's too well-versed in all aspects of stand-up. So I think that, yeah, he's going to have to try to clinch. He's going to have to try to pressure him and try to cut him off and keep him in the corner of the cage.
I think you're right. I think the clinch game is, if you can't shoot double legs from the middle, that's not going to work, right? So the clinch game is where you can try to do those level changes and then take the fight down to the ground. That might be the best way for Bilal Muhammad to get this down to the ground. If he does that, I certainly think he's a live dog here, and I do, and I tend to agree with our experts that believe this fight might go deep into the night here, over 4.5 right now, plus a dollar, the under juice slightly at -130. Do you think this goes the distance, or do we get that stoppage somewhere?
I think that getting a little bit of plus money on going the distance makes it an okay play, because I really think it's 50-50 either way. So if you're getting plus money, then it's advantageous over time. But yeah, I don't have a strong decision either way on that. You know, I am thinking back to what Reed said earlier, though, and he's talking about Bilal Muhammad's ability to backpack, like we saw Aljamain Sterling
last week.
And, you know, we were talking about Luke A being a dangerous jiu-jitsu practitioner and having a strong, you know, having strong guard defense. Well, it's hard to submit a guy if he's on your back, right? If he's in your guard, you can submit him from the bottom. But if he's behind you, you're just basically playing defense the whole time. And that's Bilal's path, as we were mentioning earlier.
Okay, all of our experts that we've had on so far in this edition of First Strike, they've had an opinion, but they have not given a play here on the co-main event and Caio Barajo against Gaju Omurgadjiev. I'm going to put you on the spot as our star producer. If you were to play this fight, and again, America, we're not advising that you play this fight because there's just not a lot of info out of these relative newcomers here, but here they are on the co-main event. You know what's going to happen, Britain. People are going to be watching this fight card. They go, oh, I want to wager it. Which way would you go? Would you go with the Brazilian or would you go with the Russian here? Because again, you think, like Lou Finocchiaro pointed out, the Russian's going to want to wrestle, and the Brazilian's going to either want to strike or potentially get down on the mat and use that BJJ. Which way do you think this fight might go?
Well, if I had to make a bet, I would take the plus money on Barajo because so neither of these guys have fought on a main card. They've both been in contender series. Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. But Barajo did it twice, actually, and got two wins in that organization. So he's a little less green under the bright lights. You know, I know that I can't even say his
name.
But, you know, the other fighter, his background is wrestling, and he's undefeated. He's got the ando. But how many times have we seen a guy make their UFC debut and lose the ando in the first one out?
Right.
And I think a lot of that has to do with nerves, not necessarily even talent-based. So I think the fact that, you know, Brio's fought in the Apex twice already is an advantage. And if you're getting plus money on him, I don't think it's a bad idea. And if it's a wrestling match, you mean it's going to be, you know, obviously the wrestling versus jiu-jitsu thing is always tough because sometimes we see the wrestling one, sometimes we see the jiu-jitsu practitioner. But with inexperienced guys, I think if the fight's going to take place on the ground, I'll take the guy who can get the sub.
And there it is. And again, total rounds, I think Omurgadjiev and Barajo are going to go the distance here. Take that overprice to go to the decision would be plus $1.10. So there is some plus money there if we think this goes all three rounds. Look, I've talked about it here. Big fan of Caramel Thunder in Miguel Baeza, but he has not exactly been the hype train. People might be jumping off of it. Are you jumping off it against Andre Fialho?
Fialho plus 150 is a contender with my Levitt pick as my strongest lean-in of the card. I think Fialho is a very impressive fighter. He's only fought once in the octagon. Yep. It was against Michel Pereira. It was a hard-fought decision win for Pereira. And Fialho looks like a bodybuilder in there.
The
thing that impressed me about the Pereira fight is he made it the whole distance. Because, you know, how many times have we seen a muscle-bound guy run out of gas in the second or third round? He made it the whole way in his debut. As we've said a million times, guys usually have tough sledding their first time in the octagon. And, yeah, as Lou pointed out, Bieza's a little bit inconsistent mentally. So I think plus 150 on Fialho is a good spot to be in.
That's when my UFC career ended. Because, you know, with my physique, sometimes my cardio just couldn't hang in there. Let's talk about Mario Bueno Silva here against Yanan Wu, because this has been an interesting handicap that we've had from some of our experts here. Like, you know, Silva, as Jordan Sherwood alluded to, maybe you go for an R bar by submission, and then you can get some good plus money instead of laying over $5. But I think a lot of our other experts believe we have a live dog scenario here. What do you see?
I think that, you know, so the casual fan is going to, you know, go to SureDog or UFC.com or whatever and do their research on this. And it's like, oh, Wu's lost two in a row. She's on her way out.
Right.
But it's something that I pointed out, you know, to you behind the scenes. And I think last time I was on, I talked about it as well, is that when somebody's on a losing streak and two losses is bad, three losses, you're not going to be in the organization very long.
And you know that
so
as a fighter.
So desperation is definitely be on Wu's side. And if you're getting that big of a price with a fighter that's as experienced as her, and also still young, she's like 25.
That's
still,
the thing.
Yeah, 25.
Yep.
So I think that, you know, it's kind of disrespectful to have her at such a big number. I mean, I like as Reed said earlier, I understand why Silva's the favorite, but I don't think that this price is justified.
I got about a minute to go here with our producer extraordinaire, Britton Hess. Britton, on the prelims here, there are some interesting names. Obviously, when you have Chris Barnett is almost $2 underdog here. Jakar Close is a huge favorite over $6 against Brandon Jennings. Penny Kianzad is back in the octagon. She's about over $4 favorite here. Devin Clark and William Knight. Is there any fight on that prelim that you think really there's a good opportunity to maybe make some profit?
I think that Barnett, Boudet, if you could just fade it going long. I mean, I think that...
Somebody's going out.
Yeah, I just don't think Barnett is the style of fighter. Even if Boudet wants to go to a decision, mm-hmm. Barnett's not going to let it go to a decision just because he's so aggressive and so wild in there. He leaves himself open to being taken out, and he's going to be swinging for the fences the whole time as well. So I think that going with a round prop under there or either guy to finish inside the distance is going to be a good way to make some money.
This is why he's the star producer, everybody. Britton, appreciate your time as always, my friend. I want to thank Reed Kuhn, Lou Finicaro, Jordan Sherwood. Enjoy the fights. Thanks for watching First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.